Welcome to episode 96 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. It's Tuesday, the 31st of January, 2017. Thank you for dialing us up, folks. I am one of your hosts, and my name is Wayne.
And I am your other host. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast where we count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to.
So, Paul, what are we going to do for the folks this week?
Well, today's a bit of a strange episode.
Strange one.
Yeah, you may have noticed already that it's a pretty short episode, and that's, well, it's somewhat deliberate.
Yeah.
Because, well, if you're listening to this in the first couple of days after release, I'm not actually here.
Yeah, Paul's fucked off, everyone.
I am in Japan, skiing down some white, white, snowy slopes.
Right.
Just picture it for a moment. Shh.
It's shush, shush. That's the, I think shush. No, I can't remember. Fuck it.
Trust
I don't
me.
Know.
When
I've
I ski,
never skied.
The best I get is shush.
Got it.
So yes, so we are recording very, very early, which means we didn't turn it over to the audience in the way we often do and get a big listener feedback. I've got a few, a little bit just there, and we don't have as much to recount as we would normally have.
That's fine. No one gives a shit about that
stuff. It's all great. It just means this is going to be a thematically appropriately lengthed episode.
Oh, I see.
Why?
Yes. We are today counting down the top 10 short movies. That's in under 90 minutes movies.
That's it. We are big on wham, bam, thank you, man.
That's right. Wipe a dick on the curtains, leave.
That's it. That no sticking around. No time for cuddles.
Nope.
What we're actually talking about is we enjoy a short film that does not overstay its welcome.
Right. Because sometimes that's what you want. You want a goddamn quick hit of moviness.
Yeah.
And you're wondering, it's important that you know what movies you might want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you just wasted 90 minutes.
How often have you looked at the runtime of a film? On Netflix, Redbox, wherever
anywhere.
You might be watching a film and go, oh, 2 hours and 20. I don't
Absolutely.
Have time for that.
I want to be asleep by that time.
85 minutes? Fuck yeah.
Boom, exactly. It's like an episode of Sherlock. It's just, like, you know what I mean? It's like an hour and a half, you're done.
Yep. So that's what we're about today. We are going to provide you with a great list of films that you can watch in short length of time when you are pushed for time.
Yeah.
And hence, our episode will also be short.
Right.
Now, I want to have a bit of a shout out. If you're a new listener to the show, welcome.
Hi.
It's great to have you along. We're hoping that maybe the shorter length might have attracted you to have a bit of a sample of our podcast. You might be listening to us on the Exploded Radio Network.
Oh, yes.
Where we feature in the drive time slot. 6 p.m. Thursday nights, stateside.
Right.
If you come through the normal avenues, it's great to have you here as well. Now, one thing we want to mention to all of our listeners. We are part of a great Australian podcasting competition. It's called the Castaway Awards. You can
Clever.
Find it at www.castawayawards.com.au.
Mm-hmm.
And there we have entered ourselves in a couple of categories, including the popular vote. So we would really appreciate it if you went along there, signed up to the get the emails. It's really short and easy and painful. You don't get spammed.
Painless.
And give us a thumbs up.
Yeah. I think the link is on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Just take a look there.
It will also be in the show notes this week.
There you go. Even easier.
Yeah. So go there. Check us out. Please do leave us a thumbs up and help us climb the rankings. We're doing all right at the moment. We're not, nowhere near going to win the thing, but we are not shaming ourselves. So thank you to everybody who's already voted.
Yes. But we do this for love.
Yeah.
I should mention.
And the accolades.
Yes.
Second.
Also.
All those accolades which are floating.
And should I mention the bitches? No, I'm kidding. There are no bitches.
Pitches and below.
Yeah. If only.
And hats off to the guys who have organised, the people that have organised the Castaway Awards. It's a great Australian podcasting initiative. There is actually a ceremony for the winners on April 1st in Sydney.
You give us enough votes and we'll turn up.
Not guaranteed. Patsy, don't pay attention to that. All right, then. Let's get to this week's, well, what we always call the first segment, the recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
The recount is our listener feedback segment where we listen to your feedback. Paul, what do we got this week?
Just a couple of emails, the first of which from Rick Peterson. Now, Rick has been turned on to Silicon Valley, thanks to your recommendation.
Awesome! I'm so glad you're watching.
TV show which has run for 3 seasons, and he said he has binged them all.
Right, because it's a real bingeable show. Half-hour slots, bang, bang, bang.
Okay, his question to you. What character do you most relate to?
Oh, on the show, I would like to say it's one of the cooler characters, but the truth is I most identify with Eric Bachman, who's played by TJ Miller.
Okay. Why is it that you identify with him?
He is a loudmouth person who makes a lot of dick jokes and foul jokes, a lot of inappropriate jokes, but they're very, very funny. I like to think that I bring that to sometimes the party. And, you know, he's a little heavy.
Okay. Curvy in the right places.
Right. That's what we'll sure. That's how we'll call it.
Yeah. Around the ball sack.
Yeah. But I'm so glad you're listening, son.
Yeah. Okay. Listening.
I mean, watching the show and also listening to this.
And also listening. It's very good. Okay. And then we had an email from a regular contributor, good friend to the show, Campbell.
Cam.
Now, Campbell has been good enough to go ahead and watch a whole bunch of films that either you or I have recommended.
Okay.
Films he'd never seen before. There were 13 of them. So let's start with the not so good. And he even bothered to rank order the 10 to 1.
Wow.
And mentioned the three that he did not like.
Okay.
So let's start with this. Right. Bad Santa, which we both recommended.
Yes.
Didn't like it.
Did not like it?
No.
Even the fucking... Okay, fine.
Choke.
No! Come on, Cam. That movie's great, man.
Apparently not, which you obviously recommended.
I absolutely... Wow, wow.
And one that hurt me just a little bit.
Go on.
Made a little part of me die inside. He didn't like Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, see, that was a... We were young adults and we saw it and it was Rennie Harlan directed it.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was still like the first of its kind of thing. We'd never seen a sudden death like that before. So, you know,
I get it.
Okay. It may not age.
Now, his list from 10 to 1 of films, the lowest of which is The Princess Bride at number 10. Can you believe that?
What?
Shit? 3 stars. He's also given a one-line review of each. So, number 10 for him, 3 stars, Princess Bride. We both recommended this. I wanted to put this last as you guys like it way too much for adults. 20 great minutes surrounded by juvenile pap before and after.
Otherwise known as witty dialogue you. Okay.
Campbell, thankfully the back end of your list redeems yourself, but that hurts as well.
Little.
This also hurts. Number 9, John Wick. 3 stars.
That's completely fine, Campbell.
I've been championing
You've redeemed
this film.
Yourself. You've redeemed yourself. Could have even gone, you know, 8, 9, it's fine.
Standard predictable shoot 'em up, he said. Revenger with some good action.
Yes.
The Agreed. Lobster, number 8, which he said we both recommended, but I don't think you actually liked it.
I didn't really like it, but it was like it was not a good time for me. It's okay. I don't like these art houses that are a bit downer.
Okay, well, 3.5 stars. You ran that very funny concept in early scenes. Surprised me that Wayne liked it because it was fairly long for a comedy and dragged on near the finish.
Yeah, maybe I give it a thumbs up, thumbs down thing.
Yeah. I had the impression you weren't that.
I wasn't. I appreciated that it was well, done, but not for me.
Number 7, a recommendation from me, Halloween, 3.5 stars. Very good stalker thriller with a great ending, sport a little by annoying stereotypical teenage characters. I would argue that in 1978...
That was new. Yeah.
That they weren't stereotypical yet. But anyway, that's still 3.5 stars.
Cool.
That's not bad at all. Number 6, Sicario, 4 stars.
Yeah.
Wayne, better than John Wick overall.
Damn straight.
And in any category I could compare them in. Shut up, Campbell. Great tension, acting, soundtrack, action, and brilliantly shot.
That movie's awesome.
Number 5, The Accountant, 4 stars from both of us.
I too liked that.
Great original thriller. Sport a little with the over-the-top shoot-em-out at the end.
Nah, it was fine.
Number 4, Gone Girl, also 4 stars. This one, a recommendation from you, Wayne.
Awesome show, awesome.
Great psychological thriller with a preposterous ending that got better and better the more I thought about it.
True.
Interesting. Number 3, Gross Point Blank, 4 stars from both of us as well. An absolute hoot with some decent action thrown in as a bonus.
Right.
True Romance, 4 stars. It could have been number 1 if they kept the original Tarantino ending, and we both recommended that.
What was the original Tarantino ending?
Clarence dies.
Really?
He's not on the beach at the end.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay, good call.
And number 1, Identity. 4.5 stars.
Wow.
Superb mystery thriller, which was my recommendation, but you love it too.
Yeah.
With a great resolution, he said.
See, that was my only problem with the movie. The thing that, well, I won't spoil it, but the reveal kind of makes everything mean nothing, but okay.
Not technically mean nothing. I don't think so. I like the ending.
But no, it's still it's a good show. Definitely.
Thank you, Campbell. That's really great. He says, now on to my top 10 list from your top 10s of 2016. So in other words, he's compiled a list from those that we talked
good.
About.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Campbell. It's really great. We really appreciate
that
effort and feedback, and glad you found some films that you enjoyed. That's it for this week's recount. Short, sweet, to the point, just like this episode.
Right.
No more stuffing around. Let's get into it. The top 10 sub-90-minute films.
Yeah. This week on the Epic Film Guys podcast.
All the pieces were there. All of the elements were definitely there. But he should also personally apologize to every single person, i.e. me, who sat in the theater and had to suffer through this fucking flapping piece of shit. Investment in characters, Dan. It begins and ends with living and breathing with those characters throughout their life moments up on the screen, not telling the audience about them in passing. Okay? It's utterly lost, and it's a nonsensical heap, and it belongs in a garbage can next to a Walmart bargain bin buried underneath half-filled slushies and a case of expired Greek yogurt.
So we know what this we're counting down today. Wayne, how did you go about compiling this particular list?
Well, I first started searching for, you know, movies below 90 minutes. There's actually not a lot out there. There's a lot of movies under 90 minutes, but there's scant details on which are good. And it ended up being me having to go back into movies that I thought were just short and kind of just checking to make sure that they were at least 90 minutes or under. And so that's how I kind of went through there. And then it became like just, what are my favorite ones? What would I want to sit down and to get a 90-minute shot of?
Sure. Well, I looked at it like, okay, let's find a list of the best films under 90 minutes. And there were quite a few of them online. Mm-hmm. I was surprised, to be honest, about how many there were. And then I went through those lists and found the ones that I particularly liked, double-checked their runtime, and then compiled my list. And I started with 18 of them.
Really? Yeah, I had more than yeah.
And had to pare it back. So I have a lot of honorable mentions at the end of this countdown. I also did not include films that ran 90 minutes.
Oh, shit.
We said under 90 minutes.
I know. This is absolutely on brief. But sometimes they have long credits. I may have a 92-minute one in my list. Okay, I'll just give you a warning. Oh, fuck off.
Unacceptable, sir.
I turned it off as soon as the fucking fade to black, so...
This is like, what you're effectively doing is counting the balls in the length of your shaft.
Here it is. How can balls be in my shaft?
It's not 9 inches if you add the balls in as well.
Oh, I see what you mean. All right, maybe I got 192, all right there. Okay, I'll just tell you right now, Paul can eat a dick.
I will name and shame it. We're going to talk about the run length of
we'll see, motherfucker.
All right, here we go. My number 10 is a film which I think I've mentioned once or twice on the podcast over the years. It is the 1986 film from director Fred Decker. It's called Night of the Creeps.
What the fuck is this movie?
It's 88 minutes long and it is a homage B-grade, B-schlocky sci-fi horror film about these slugs which enter into people and turn them into zombies. And then they go around killing people and infecting other people with their slugs.
Why and how can this be good?
It's awesome. Stars Tom Atkins as the police detective investigating this, who has just all manner of awesome lines, including things like this.
I got good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Yeah, there's so many memorable parts in this film. It's just schlocky goodness. Fred Decker, by the way, has written the new Predators film with Shane Black.
Ooh.
So he's coming back into
Shane
Vogue.
Shane Black?
Yeah.
Nice.
Shane Black is directing the new Predators
film.
Yeah,
I know that. But like, he got to work with him. Awesome.
Well, they're actually friends from what I understand.
Even better.
And Fred Decker disappeared mostly out of the Hollywood scene after making this film. And another great film, which is on my honorable mentions, I couldn't quite shoehorn it in, The Monster Squad. Then he went and made...
I know that show.
RoboCop 3.
But then he had a Frank Miller script to contend with. Yeah. That's what's going on there.
But this is a heap of fun. It's short. It's to the point. It's just good gory goodness with a lot of comedy behind it. So do find this one if you are a fan of that kind of thing. By the way, horror and comedies are the two most represented genres in films under 90 minutes.
That makes complete sense. Yeah. In fact, I'm surprised I don't have more comedies on my list.
Yeah,
because that became something I searched for as well.
Pretty much all of mine are one of those two genres with one or two exceptions.
Okay, that should be fun.
Okay, that's my number 10, Night of the Creeps.
My number 10 may be somewhat fudgepacular in terms of it's quite a soppy one, but I have always quite liked it. The movie is called Once. It's just called Once. Mm-hmm. Now,
who's in it? What's it about?
It is really, really indie-ish. It stars two people, Glenn Hansard and Marketa Irglova. And directed by someone named John Carney. I don't really know any of these people.
Swinging and missing here.
No, here it is. It's a music movie, all right? Not a musical.
Okay.
But a almost a movie for musicians, almost. Basically, it's about a vacuum repairman who moonlights as a street musician and he hopes for his big break. And then one day, this Czech immigrant girl who sells flowers for a living approaches him with the news that she's also an aspiring singer-songwriter. And then they decide to collaborate. But the songs, this is really fucking pretty gay, but the songs that they do, right, are sort of reflecting the story of them kind of falling in love. It's actually very, very nice. It's very sweet. But
how long?
86 minutes.
Okay, that's acceptable.
Yeah, well, you know. This movie has one of the best... If anyone has ever tried to teach someone a song on a piano, or just teach them a song, say, this is how to do it, can you try and play it? The scene that they do that in this movie is the best one of those scenes. It's really authentic, and it's just easily buyable. I know, this is not my usual fare.
Did not see this one
coming. I was a fan of this one. It's a guilty... Well, not guilty pleasure. A lot of people like this show.
Okay.
But they're all girls. once. There you go.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, see it once. There.
Yeah. Just give it a try.
Yeah, that made it better.
My number nine is one that everybody knows. It has sprung up now as its own universe, but it was the original Cloverfield from 2008, directed by Matt Reeves, 85 minutes in length. It's a found footage, horror, sort of pseudo-sci-fi.
Yeah, suspense-y, sci-fi, yeah, everything. No, this is a good show. I didn't expect it to be good, by the way.
Which is, it was guerrilla marketed. It came kind of out of nowhere, much like 10 Cloverfield Lane did last year.
J.J. Abrams, right?
J.J. Abrams, that's right, produced it. And maybe, did he write it? Let me see here. No, Drew Goddard wrote the film. So, ex-Buffy alum.
I did like this show. I did like it.
Writer-director of Cabin in the Woods. So, yeah, this is great. I think it's a great movie. People are coming a bit of backlash to it now. They don't like it so much. But as far as big rampaging monsters and showing a group of people via found footage,
it does have
all the trappings of the genre. It does have the shaky cam and the confusing bit and whatever. But that's what they allowed them to keep the budget down.
Yeah.
And look where we are now. Another Cloverfield-related film coming out this year.
Is there?
The God Particle, I think it's called.
Really?
So they are expanding this universe and not that we're aware yet how they all join together, but apparently they do.
Cool.
So, a lot of fun. Some pretty good moments in the film.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
No, the bits that were cool, definitely. Yeah.
That's my number nine, Cloverfield.
Okay, my number nine is an comedy, and it's one that I've always secretly kind of dug. The movie is called Hot Rod.
Oh, yeah.
It's Andy 87 Sandberg. Minutes. Yeah, Andy Samberg, and the Lonely Island folk. And it's also got Danny McBride, Bill Hader, Isla Fisher, Ian McShane. So it's,
as his dad, right?
Yeah, as his dad. He's a pussy, you're a pussy. That's good shit, right? It's basically Andy Samberg is an inept stuntman. He's not a stuntman, he's just a kid who does stunts. Trying to raise money to fund surgery for his stepfather. And it's kind of parodying all the best 80s films along the way. I don't know, it's full of just gags like MacGruber in that it just got enough funny gags in it that you're keeping on laughing. And it goes pretty quick as a result. This movie is 88 minutes long.
Okay. Meets the brief. Yeah. I did think this might line up on your list as I was doing my research. So no surprise there. And good choice.
Cool.
Funny film. Mine is also number eight, a comedy.
Uh-huh.
Primarily. Like this. Some people mistakenly believe it's a horror, but if you watch it as a horror, it fails in every way possible.
Okay.
It's directed by Ruben Fleischer, stars Woody Harrelson. Ring a bell yet?
Zombieland.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Zombieland's great.
Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, and Abigail Breslin.
Uh-huh.
Story of four people that come together to survive the zombie apocalypse, I should say. And yeah, as a comedy, very, very funny.
Yeah, no, Zombieland I do like. Oh, you're right. So if you see it as
a horror film, there's nothing really horrific about it. They act in idiotic ways. They wouldn't have survived half a second.
Yeah, it's probably why I like it, because it didn't try and be a horror.
No.
It's probably what it was. It was comedy, no. So yeah.
So depending which way you view it, and I've come to accept it's a comedy, it's not a horror, so I can let go of that. Good comedy, very funny, some great moments. It starts off wonderfully well with the rules to survive the zombie apocalypse.
Perfect.
Cardio.
Really, handled really well. Yeah, handled really well. Oh, good.
And with a great little cameo, and for those who haven't seen it, I won't spoil it, even though we are now. It's coming up on 8 years since it was released.
Yeah, you should experience it if you can.
Yeah, great.
All right, my number eight is not a comedy. It's a sci-fi.
Ooh.
And I bet it's on your list. The movie is Chronicle.
Honorable mention.
Honorable mention, okay. 84-minute movie, released in 2012. It's technically a superhero movie. Well, he's found footage as well. I think what I liked about it was that they do actually explain all the angles you get in the... Like, there's always someone in the background in the corner with a cam or something like that. Or
a security camera.
Something, which the idea is that they're just splicing all those footages together. But in any case, it's actually really, really cool. And it's kind of very unlike a traditional superhero type movie in that, one, it's not trying to create a world where they can go sequel.
Yep, self-contained story.
Absolutely. And it's obviously low budge for its whatever it is. but in the end, really just great. And it's got it, and it launched a few people's careers. It's Michael B. Jordan, for example, is in this movie. I don't really recognize.
Well, initially launched director Josh Trank's career.
Yes, until the Fantastic Four happened. Yep. Poor guy. But yes, no, this is an actual, for a guy who doesn't necessarily care for that as much, I was kind of glued to my seat.
But you are a comic book guy. We are action.
Yeah, yeah.
Cinema
so sci-fi.
Fans,
the, you're right.
Sci-fi.
You're right. I do
but
like
the,
it more than
the
that.
The format may not be your thing. Found
yes,
footage.
The found footage thing tends to give me the shits.
Yep.
But this did not for 1 minute, and it worked really well. Mm. So yeah, Chronicle.
Yeah, no arguments. Clearly, I had to cut it from my list, but I do really enjoy that film and was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
that's the thing about that movie. That I think it was a February release.
That's a good point. I expected nothing from this show, so that helped a lot.
Yep. All right. Likewise with my number seven, if I can use that as a segue.
Go on.
It is a film you'll never see. So this is my outlier on the list.
Go on.
It's a French film from directors Alexandre Bustillo and Julien Moret.
Mm.
It's called Inside. Comes in at 79 minutes.
That is short.
That is very short. It's about a woman who is about to give birth to a baby. Unfortunately, her husband was killed a few months earlier. And she is tormented in her home by a stranger who wants to get to her, and as you learn, to get to the baby. So
really?
There's a couple of meanings in this
film. The unborn baby?
Inside. It's inside the house.
Uh-huh.
It's in the baby that's inside her. It is graphic. It is bloody.
Icky.
It is brutal.
Really?
It is extremely tense.
Wow.
It's well filmed. It's virtually one setting. There's a couple of extra scenes at the beginning and the end from recollection that take place outside the house. But otherwise, this is all contained in that one setting.
I think I would have trouble watching this movie.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to recommend it to you or to anyone who's a bit
squeamish
and less. But if you're into horror and you have not seen this international film, it is well worth seeking out.
Okay, Inside.
Inside, my number seven.
All right, my number seven is Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Also an honorable mention.
Really?
Yep.
See, this is a horror comedy.
Yep.
Now, we have spoken a little about this before, but basically it's a Canadian comedy horror starring Tyler Labine and Alan Tudyk.
Tudyk.
And they're just hillbillies. They're well-meaning folks, but they're mistaken by vacationing teens as two psychopaths who are living in the cabin. And it seems very ho-hum if you're just explaining it like that, but the truth is this is a delightful movie.
Well, it's really clever.
It's really clever, and the thing is, you can essentially like almost everyone in the movie, except for the people you're really not supposed to like. No one's got really proper ill intent in this movie, so in the end, it's like this comedy of errors, but it's massively entertaining, and I really like the two leads. So, horror, yes, but in the best possible way.
Yeah, it's great that the college students mistake them as serial killers and are trying to basically get them before they get got, but in so doing, manage to off themselves repeatedly.
And they're just trying to be nice, these
which
two.
Reinforces the fact that these guys are killers. So it's very clever in that. In that
no, it's a well-written show, and it's 89 minutes long.
Yeah, just meets the brief, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, how long was Chronicle?
Chronicle was 84 minutes.
Mm, okay. Yeah, well, it's on my honorable mention, so I'm assuming it was under 90. So we haven't heard your one that breaks the rules.
No, not yet.
My number six, then, is a very recent film and one that I reviewed in maybe our first ever top 10, last 10 from vague recollection.
Okay.
It is What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
Directed by Germaine Clement and Taika Waititi.
Yep.
Who is the upcoming director of Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And Germaine Clement, of course, from Flight of the Conchords. It's a very, very funny film that is a mockumentary about a bunch of vampires that room together.
I've heard you talk about this.
You need to see this movie.
Really? You think I like it?
Anyone who appreciates good quality, clever comedy needs to see this movie.
Okay, all right.
There are so many funny moments. And yes, a greater understanding of vampire lore and horror movie cinema might enhance it a bit, but really it's pretty self-contained and you can watch this film and be not pleasantly surprised because I've built it up now, but at least go, yeah, that was pretty good.
I totally get it because if I like Tucker and Dale, you know what I mean? Horror comedy.
Yeah, I'd say.
I'm not saying it's the same type of movie, but
this is far less.
If it's genuinely good, funny, clever humor, whatever, this, that, I'm going to like it. So, all right, I'm giving it a burl.
All right, do that. And I'd love to hear your thoughts once you have. It does star Taika Waititi, Germaine Clement as well, and then a whole bunch of people. Oh, Rhys Darby's in it from Flight of the Conchords as well, playing a pretty amusing role, which I won't spoil if you haven't seen the film.
Okay. All right. Looking forward to that.
And that one is running in at 86 minutes.
86 minutes. Okay. Let's take a quick break for some Potter and Family promos, and we'll be right back with all the rest of this jam.
This week on Master Debaters.
I went down a fucking weird rabbit hole where I started looking at weird fairy tales.
Yeah, you did.
Little Red Riding Hood was the one I felt was changed the most to protect the kids.
Little Red Riding Hood's fucked up.
Doesn't he wear Grandma's suit? Little Red Riding Hood? Right, suit. Kill Grandma, get inside Grandma and wear her as a suit.
No.
Is that the original?
That's dark as fuck.
That's
dark. That's dark as fuck.
That's would you fuck me? That's some ass shit.
Would you stroke me?
Would you
stroke me?
Would you pet me?
Who's looking for him? I'm a good boy. Damn right.
Spike barrel.
That's a euphemism.
Oh, it says glory holes.
Yeah, glory holes. Yeah. Just fucked to death.
Matilda, the
choke.
Ah,
he's gone.
Oh, that,
the choke.
Fucking
the choke. The choke. The choke. I actually like the choke.
My number six is a classic. It's a classic. Most people will have seen this if you're any kind of fan of comedy. It's A Night at the Roxbury. Okay, so Night of the Roxbury clocks in at 82 minutes, so nice and short. It's, of course, starring Chris Kattan, Will Ferrell, Dan Hedaya, and Richard Grieco. This is one of those Saturday Night Live sketches that turned into a movie and a franchise subsequently. Of course, it uses the "What is love, love, love" fucking song.
Really great. No more.
Perfect. I could even tell what you were singing there. Nice one. But this is like, I don't know, just as the epitome of making something from absolutely nothing. This is just completely substanceless, but each stupid gag is stupid funny gag. So,
agreed. You know, I like this movie.
Yeah, even like rocking your head against the, and then he smashes the glass. The that shit's just funny. So I'm glad it's endured as a classic.
Think it was a success? I can't really remember, but maybe it's just because we all liked it.
No, it was. It had a budget of $17 million and had a box office of $30.3 million.
Yeah, okay.
Given that they probably were just doing it for a tax write-off anyway.
With marketing, probably around about, So that's why we never saw A Night at the Roxbury 2, I guess.
No, that's the thing,
All right, nice. Well, my number five is also a comedy, but maybe not the kind of comedy that you would expect.
Ah, do tell.
It is my requisite children's film.
What?
Okay. And I warred on this one. I don't want to put two in. I like them both for different reasons, about the same as each other, and they both would fall around this level. Ultimately, I went for what I now call my signature film as part of this countdown, this podcast.
Is it fucking Shaun the Sheep?
It is Shaun the Sheep movie.
Oh, for fuck's sake. This is like the 80th time you've mentioned this movie.
Yeah, we've had about 94 countdowns, and I reckon I've mentioned it about 73
yeah,
times.
Yeah, I hear about it all the time. Wow,
have you seen it yet? You need to watch this fucking movie.
I have so many movies to watch.
I know.
And fucking Shaun the Sheep is really low on that list, man.
It should be higher.
Maybe if I had
a
child.
Why? Because it's 85 minutes, including credits. And the credits are pretty fucking long because it's a claymation film.
Oh.
So my point is you could burn through this pretty fast. And that's what this whole episode's about. Quick fixes. It's not Godfather Part 2, although, of course, that is more important that you watch that.
Yes, of course. All right. Well, Okay. I'm probably not going to watch this, I'll tell you right now, but I appreciate that you like it and that you've mentioned it 200 times.
Directed by Mark Burton and Richard Starzak. And of course, we are aware from a recent press release that Shaun the Sheep Movie 2 is coming. This whole film has a lovely message, and the message is appreciate what you've got.
Okay. No, I do like, I mean, actually really want to see Zootopia.
Great. Another great message.
I've heard it's awesome, so I'm going to swing that.
Probably not so subtle as this film. But this is a film which, again, I know I've mentioned a lot, so I'll just mention this one more time, has no dialogue and yet is incredibly funny. It's all physical comedy. It's all sight gags. Most of it works.
It's possible I may get to it because I forgot that it has no dialogue.
Yeah.
And it's very impressive.
Okay, that's it. That's my number five.
All right, man. Well,
flying the flag.
All right, my number five is one that you guys suggested to me a long time ago, but not until the sequel came out. The movie is El Mariachi.
Yeah.
You know?
Very nice.
1992 movie. We were in high school still.
I'm surprised it's so high, but I think... Nice to get a mention.
It's because you guys are saying, oh, this is a foreign movie, you got to see it. And I was like, all right. Well, I was still a kid then. I didn't really even foreign movie, you know what it is. So then I saw it, and then I don't know what it was, but I think I immediately saw the charm in it. Even though, and you know, I've seen the documentary on how he made it for like fuck all money.
Which is awesome.
It is awesome.
That does really expand your appreciation for that film.
It does. It makes it completely different.
Because it was shot for about 10 grand?
Something ridiculous like that. And it looks way more expensive than that.
And then Columbia, I believe, or TriStar picked it up. The same thing, I think. picked it up and they spent about $1 million post-producing it.
Oh, that might have helped.
Making the film stock look better and all the rest of it. And it turned around and made a squillion bucks, and that allowed Robert Rodriguez to make Desperado, which was basically a remake.
Essentially, except it was so much more, not authentic, because this one's actually set in Mexico City and it looks like an actual modern city, but they're just trying to try to play it off. It was Desperado, it actually looked like this old fucking El Paso fucking whatever. Yep. This actually, the budget was 7K.
7K, yeah.
And the box office was 2 mil. I don't know exactly how that goes up and down, because obviously they didn't put in the $1 million of post, but whatever.
I mean, maybe I'm exaggerating. It was 100 grand they spent on that post. But it was so little that immediately it launched Robert Rodriguez's career.
Yeah, and then he got to the other one. They gave him Antonio Banderas, and then now he's doing Spy Kids. So
anyway.
This is an 81-minute movie, and it's basically a traveling mariachi or musician is mistaken for a murderous criminal, and he has to hide from a gang bent on killing him. But of course, then he turns into a badass. Most of you, I think, out here listening will have heard this one.
Yeah,
or
for
at least
sure.
Definitely seen
for
it.
For sure.
But, yeah. All right. El Mariachi. Big fan.
Very nice. Okay. My number four is one I thought might hit your list. And maybe it still does.
Okay.
It is the best, I believe, of all the spoof films.
Oh.
All of them.
All of them?
Yep. It's from David Zucker. It is The Naked Gun from the files of Police Squad.
I am surprised this is so high for
you.
I agree. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Leslie Nielsen playing Officer Frank Drebin.
Yep.
George Kennedy is his captain. O.J. Simpson in the film is his offsider.
Before all the murdering.
Yeah, from 1988. And Priscilla Presley as well. And Ricardo Montalban.
Oh, so yes.
Khan himself.
That's right.
At 85 minutes. I would say this is one of those films that has at least two good laughs per minute.
That's a good point. You know, this movie actually
never stopped laughing.
Yeah, this movie and its sequels. I enjoyed a lot of the sequels.
Sequels are good too, don't get me wrong.
This
They're
is
not
the
as
first
good as this.
One, of course, yeah.
Because they got to cherry pick all the best jokes from the TV show, which was five or six episodes, I think.
This movie made me look up Police Squad.
Yeah, I went and watched it again, and then you realize, oh, they recycled some of the jokes. Doesn't matter.
I watched it on VHS that I rented. That's how long ago it happened, man. Yeah, right? Man. And you're right, it is kind of most of those jokes, but we hadn't seen them before, man. So it was all hilarious.
Everywhere I look, I see reminders of her.
Yeah, and it's like titties.
Domes. Even the shootout, you know, it's edited so they're having this big, massive, like, proper police shootout. Turns out they're like 3 feet from each other, popping over the same box, shooting at one another.
I think at one stage they didn't even fire the guns. They're just kind of doing this. They're kind of jerking the guns back. Yeah.
No, a lot of sight gags in that film.
But it
as
works.
Well. Yeah.
You know, I mean, sure, it was like whatever it was, whatever year it was.
When he goes out to do the national anthem in Rico Palazzo. And
yes, exactly. That's good.
We could do this all day. Look, it's a very, very funny film. I'm sure that everybody is familiar with Frank Drebin and the late, great Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
That's my number four.
Naked Gun.
That's it.
All right. My number four, this is my dip over the line one, okay? So feel free to berate it, but, you know, fuck you. The movie is Source Code. Okay. And it clocks in at 92 damn minutes.
2 minutes too long.
Yeah, well, you know, may I mention that you like to crowbar in many sequels to one entry? So it's not like I'm the only cheater here, but if you just, you know, like fast forward the
we're not talking about what I do, we're talking about what you do.
just cut the, you know, just can it as soon as the credits start. It's nothing after the credits. It's less than 90 minutes. Okay. Decorated soldier Captain Colter Stevens wakes up in the body of an unknown man, discovering he's involved in a mission to find the bomber of a Chicago commuter train. And he learns he's part of a top-secret experimental program that enables him to experience the final 8 minutes of another person's life. This
is so fucking weirdly specific.
Yeah, it is.
Why 8 minutes? Just cause.
Yeah, that's just the machinery. Directed by Duncan Jones, this thing has got Jake Gyllenhaal, Michelle Monaghan, Vera Farmiga in it. This did extremely well, this movie.
Yeah, it was a good flick.
It was like the $32 million budget, $147.3 million box office.
Very great return.
I didn't know what to expect from this movie at all.
It's kind of Groundhog Day in a serious way.
It kind of is, but the surprises and everything were good, man. Like, they were just, it was a really well-written, well-told story.
Agreed, agreed.
And well-directed. So, Source Code, look it up.
What I don't agree with is its inclusion on this list, but nevertheless,
that's
good
you're
film.
A bitch.
My number three is another international film. This one, a German film from director Tom Tykwer. Mm-hmm. It is the 1998 film that launched Franca Potente to the world, Run Lola Run.
Oh man, this is so on my list.
Oh, so it's coming
it's
as well.
It's totally on my list.
Okay, I'm pleasantly surprised. It's a film that's basically about Lola having to realize that she's got to save her boyfriend Manny from being killed from
gangsters,
whatever illegal dealings that he's involved with.
Yep.
And it involves her running to get to the place where he's going to meet said gangsters and all the things and people and whatever that she encounters along the way. And The very intriguing, interesting device in this film is that Tikva shows it three different ways.
Yeah, it's kind
of... with three different kind of shooting styles each time, and it has three different conclusions.
Yeah, it's like sliding doors, but not...
And that's really great, because you so it's basically 85-minute film, but we get really 27, 28 minutes of a story each time, and then we just go back and... It's fascinating.
And it has to be really skillfully handled, that kind of thing, for it to work. I think initially when I saw this, I was put off a bit by... But, oh, it's just that three times. What am I supposed to believe? I wanted answers at that age. I wanted answers.
Okay, yep.
But also, you know, the little animations between each story.
Yep.
Initially, I didn't like that. But then I realized that that's what kind of... It's actually probably one of the things that makes a movie good, because it breaks up the action and you know that sequence has ended. The next one's... You know, really good. So
And a really cool soundtrack as well, which...
Yeah, it was.
Fuels the film. It was. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not the music guy, but it's a trance soundtrack.
Yes, it's very...
And I do own it on CD, believe it or not.
The only trans CD Paul owns.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Nice.
Wow. Well, my number three is a big favorite of mine, and I'm sorry, but it's 90 minutes, so fuck you. All right, 90. It's close enough, man. Damn.
Twice. Can you believe he cheated twice?
I'll fucking eat my balls. Anyway. The movie is called Thank You for Smoking.
Wow, that's high.
I loved this movie.
Really?
I loved it.
What did you love so much about it?
First of all, okay, it's got Aaron Eckhart, Maria Bello, Cameron Bright, Adam Brody, Sam Elliott, a bunch of other folks, including Bill H. Macy. And the movie is about a lobbyist played by Aaron Eckhart. And he's the vice president of this tobacco company. He's talented in speaking and he spins arguments and he's very good in front of the cameras. And he's actually a smoker. And this movie is about smoking and the ideology of getting people to smoke and the morality behind tobacco companies and arguing and stuff like that. But yet no one lights up in the whole movie. They managed to avoid that. And that's very cool, I thought.
What's the message there?
I don't know. Well, first of all, they weren't promoting smoking despite it being a movie about smoking.
Right.
So that's good. But the real thing I guess I liked about it is it's really it's a very intellectual kind of movie, but also still with some skillful shit. Like Aaron Eckhart's got a kid and the kid is asking him the questions that you as the audience are asking him. He then basically deftly sidesteps it, but he kind of comes around. But the arc that he goes through and everything is really kind of cool, and it's believable, and you as an audience member, whether you like to smoke or not, or agree with whatever, or you buy into the premise. So I was just, I'm a huge fan of this show.
Okay, that does surprise me. I've seen it. It's okay.
Yeah, stay with me.
Doesn't float my boat at all.
Yeah, okay.
All right, yeah, that happens. All right, well, my number two, getting down to the very business end of the countdown now, is a film that I would rank in I don't think it ranked in my top 10. Maybe I did rank in my top 10 horror films now I think about it. I should have.
All right, let's hear it.
It is the best sequel, other than maybe Aliens, Terminator 2, I think that's ever been made.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Evil Dead?
No. It is, I don't know how to say this, but let's go with Juan Bagliaros and Paco Plaza's Wreck 2.
Oh, okay. Is that the name of the show?
No. Spanish film.
Wreck 2.
Which basically picks up exactly from where Wreck 1 leaves off. And if I was going to cheat, I would at this point put in Wreck and Wreck 2, because they both run well under 90 minutes.
Well, you do that all the time, so feel free.
Wreck 2 is right, clocking at 85 minutes. And it's effectively, this is the, after the events of Wreck 1, the SWAT team, which is sent in to investigate what happens in this building. So they're in an apartment building and an infection has broken out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they believe initially at the start. And the SWAT team follows in a film crew that went in on the first film.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole first film is the film crew's camera perspective. The second film is jumping around like Aliens when all the Marines go down.
I was just going to ask you, is it like Aliens where they're looking at the feet?
Exactly, on their shoulders, but it's following directly from their perspective. So you get all the different SWAT soldiers, SWAT officers.
That's cooler than found footage. It's a better format, if you ask me.
It works better. Although the film does, and why it loses half a star and is not a perfect 5-star film for me, it does break away at one point in the film to show kids with a handheld camera and kind of completely really unnecessarily, apart from to add a few more people to a body cam. I say kids, they're 16, 17-year-olds, and they get into the building even though it's locked down and blah, blah, blah. So and it goes to their perspective.
You think that took away from...
A little bit. A little bit felt like a bit of a cheat when it wasn't really necessary, but... Otherwise, this is amazing. It's intense. It's gory. It is genuinely thrilling.
And what country is it from?
Spain.
Spain. Cool.
Spanish film. And it ends on a great moment, which completely turns or confirms some things you may have been thinking through the first one and just turns them on their head. And they really should have ended it there. Although I don't mind Wreck 3, which is completely different. Wreck 4 is an abomination, which almost sinks the series.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have to have seen Rec 1 to see Rec 2? Would it help?
I have to, but I would recommend it.
Okay.
It is a direct continuation. When someone pops up from the first film, you'll know exactly who that person is and why. Well, not maybe not why they're there, but you'll have some inkling as to what's happening. So,
okay.
Rec 2, magnificent. Please do see it if you have any kind of interest in this type of film.
Very scary? Is it very scary?
I think you would say it's very scary.
Yep.
I just thought it was tense.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay. My number two is a movie I have long respected. It is called Phone Booth.
Yes, I knew this would be on your list.
81
sure.
minutes long.
Yep. Larry Cohen film.
Larry Cohen film, directed by Jay to the Shoe, Joel yep. Schumacher.
So Larry Cohen wrote it and Jay Schumacher directed it. So.
Yeah, yep. And then it's got Colin Farrell, Forrest Whitaker, Katie Holmes, Roderick Mitchell, and the voice and one part of the head of Kiefer Sutherland.
In the literal definition of a bit role.
Exactly. But what a great gig for him. He's basically doing voiceover work for the whole movie and then he just turns up in a blur. Great. Colin Farrell is an asshole publicist who answers a payphone on Times Square and he's held hostage by a disgruntled sniper who's got it trained on him. This is probably the golden child of Hollywood where this thing would have cost, let's see how much to make, $13 million.
And that would have mostly have been paychecks.
Just salaries, exactly. And then it made $97.8 million. And it is, you know, single almost location. One tracking shot maybe, but that's it. They could have wrapped this thing up in fucking like 10 days if they had to.
No, it's good. Yep.
And it just killed. Really well done. Really well written. Really well put together.
Nice. Mm. Yeah, good pick. I knew this would be on your list. It didn't make my honorable mentions, but I do like the film. I think it's a good example.
Mm.
Okay. You correctly call what my number one is, so we'll just jump straight into it. It's Evil Dead 2.
Ah, nice one.
Sam Raimi's follow-up to The Evil Dead, and for a whole bunch of reasons, including rights and the like, he couldn't get permission to use bits and pieces from the first film, so they had to sort of reinvent it and start it as if it was its own self-contained film. So this is a sequel. You don't have to have seen the original. It gives you the Cliff Notes version to start the film, and then
absolutely, you don't. I've never seen the original one.
We
and
are
I love
off and
second.
Running. It is the quintessential horror comedy. It's taken it. The first Evil Dead is just trying to be a horror, although it's incidentally funny because it's 1981 and some things just don't hold up.
Okay,
this film is just saying, "Yep, we are going balls to the wall and just going for it."
Yeah,
there are some disturbing moments.
Are there ever?
The thing in the cellar popping up and, you know, singing a little lullaby is pretty creepy. There's some awesome imagery, some great gore. And of course, this is where the real Ash is born. Bruce Campbell playing Ash. This is where, so to speak, a B-grade star was born because he just comes into his own.
Groovy.
Yeah, groovy. And let's go into that cellar and carve ourselves a witch. This is where the first film is not that way at all. He's just a normal bloke.
Right.
Second film is where they're turning him into the quipping, so to speak, action hero who's goofy and not all that sure of himself.
Does it refer at all to the first film? Is it a completely different story with the same character?
In the first film, five people go to the cabin and Ash is the only one seemingly left alive at the end of the first one, although arguably he dies at the end of the first one. It just cuts before it happens. Second film, it's just Ash and his girlfriend Linda at the cabin and he kills her and she comes back as a deadite. He kills her because she's turning into a deadite and she comes back and it all launches from there. So they've retrofitted it effectively.
It worked fine. So
no, it was no problem. It was a head scratching moment for those who are fans of the first one.
There you go. It would be.
And the first one is also on my list of honorable mentions. It is a fantastic film, which I love and own about 17 different versions
of. Yes, you do. I've seen them all. All right. Well, man, sorry to have any climax, but my number one was Run, Lola, Run.
Wow, I did steal your thunder.
No, but that's cool. But like, I just wanted to say that I think that the reason this is my number one on a fast movies kind of, you know, list is that it's fast paced. See,
is it ever?
Because she's running the whole time, the urgency that's created and stuff makes this thing go by in like a heartbeat. And I think that's what you really want. If you want to hang out and have a short movie, boom, it's over. Damn, I like that. Good. Walk out satisfied.
No arguments.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, obviously, great pick. And that would therefore be the countdown's number one pick. If we coalesced our lists together, you're my number three, your number one, Run, Lola, Run. But there's a whole bunch of other great flicks in there as well. So do check some of these out if you haven't, if you get that short amount. And let us know what you think.
Yeah.
You go check it out like Listener Campbell did earlier on today. Get back to us and let us know what your thoughts were on the films that we have recommended, good or bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So, honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions for me. One is it's a documentary called Anvil, The Story of Anvil.
Oh, and okay. Never heard of this one.
Yeah. It's got some love sort of. It's back to 2008. It's about a heavy metal band called Anvil, which was actually around back in the day, and they played with Guns N' Roses, and they played with like all these, like every heavy metal band you thought of, and even all the other, they interview these Guns N' Roses, all the famous folks, and they all talk about Anvil very fondly. So it's a really good, basically, you know, band, but it never went anywhere. The band never went anywhere. For one reason or another, everyone else went through, And these guys just never got a deal or never got a proper deal and never got any good sales. And there's a lot of reasons for that. These guys are old now. They're trying to go back on the road. They're trying to get themselves back on the map. And it's not a count. It's the actual footage of them going and trying to get a deal. And he just to borrow money from his sister to make the album. Then they try and travel to Europe and he has a fight with a nightclub owner who won't pay him. This kind of shit. But it's really quite heartwarming.
Okay.
Because this is old Canadian guys, but it's really cool. And the other one is a bit of a wanky one, but it's Midnight in Paris. And I was...
Woody Allen?
Yeah, Woody Allen movie.
Wow.
Probably the only Woody Allen movie
we've ever mentioned on the podcast.
Yeah, probably. And it's like, it's very literary and it's certainly for a certain type of crowd. And I'm certainly not necessarily that crowd, but it was handled very well.
All right. So my list of the ones I haven't mentioned as being part of my honorable mentions. The first is Flying High.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
or
sure.
Airplane, as it's called in America. Couldn't justify fitting in two Zucker films on the list, but also very, very funny and hilarious. And the last one is one which you truly do appreciate, Wayne. It is the Clive Owen actioneer shoot 'em up.
Oh, fuck that piece of shit. That was a piece of shit, that movie. That's one of those, I told Paul this is a piece of shit. He goes and watches it and loves it. Probably despite me.
There's a good part now. The only reason I remember it fondly is just because you get so upset every time I mention it.
Yeah, it's fucking crap.
In a positive way.
It's crap.
Okay, great. Let's go then to Twitter and the listener feedback, which I just mentioned isn't as big as normally is, but we got some great nominations nonetheless. From Epic Film Guys, Nick, our brothers in the US.
Yeah.
Carnage has to be on this list.
Carnage.
Yeah, which is a film about two parents of two boys who got into a fight coming together to try and sort out their boys' differences. And of course, from what I understand, they end up fighting just as badly.
Ah, okay, so, cool.
It's very well acted. From Super Movie Brothers, another great Pod and Family and Movie Pod Squad podcast, Before Sunset. Love that series. And Before Sunset is my favorite of the three. The older I get, the less I identify with Before Sunrise and more with Sunset.
Okay, I'm glad someone brought this up because I've always wanted to watch these movies. I know they're indie darlings. Everyone loves this sort
Richard,
of thing.
Linklater. Yep.
Linklater, okay. This might be the thing that makes me try and watch them because I have always wanted, for some reason, I've always been intrigued to this and just never got around to it.
Well, you can thank Dave from Super Movie
Thank
Bros.
You, Dave.
Yeah. This show is so gay, which is a podcast about gay people.
Got it.
Their nomination was Trevor, which is a short film about a boy coming out and all the obstacles that he faces.
Okay, cool.
Because I didn't specify length. And that,
technically a short film is...
is anything under 90, is all we said. So, yeah. And
this, but it can be like, it can be 10 minutes.
Yeah, this was 17 minutes, I think, from recollection.
Hmm.
Then from the HS of Y Dash podcast, I would edit every film down to 90 minutes at most.
I would agree almost with that. Some things can stretch out.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay.
Then Dave, obviously feeling the heat a little bit, came back from Super Movie Bros and said, also, the original Evil Dead is 85 minutes and a bloody good time.
The original Evil Dead,
oh,
he says.
Oh, puns, he said. Mackenzie Lambert, regular contributor, good friend to the show. My Breakfast with Blassie, starring Andy Kaufman and classy Freddie Blassie. Weird, subtle, and funny. I think it's a interview-style thing with a wrestler.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that. Maybe Mackenzie can write it and clarify, but I did look it up after he nominated it, and that's what I read.
Okay.
Jason Short agreed with Dave from Super Movie Bros. Absolutely the Before trilogy. My rankings of them change a lot. Then from the Bone Down Radio, Debbie Does Dallas.
What's the runtime on that? No one watches it all the way through.
To be honest, I didn't go and have a look because I was at work when that came through. And I thought it wasn't a wise thing to type into the search engine. Heckler Kane, as I mentioned them earlier in terms of how long could it be, they then came back with totally self-serving because they did interview the makers of a short film called Lookouts.
Lookouts. So
blew us away. And
really?
Then, yeah. So
Lookouts.
Have a look for Heckler Kane and their interview with the creators and then go from there. Scott L., good friend to the show, regular contributor, Toy Story, Blue Ruin, Airplane, Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
This is Spinal Tap. And Stand By Me.
Not bad.
I thought Stand By Me might make your list.
Yeah, I did think about it.
And speaking of Movie Geek Cast, Justin from that excellent Movie Pod Squad podcast and Pod and Family podcast, Stand By Me, Office Space. I thought that was going to be on your list for sure.
I don't know why it didn't turn up.
Ooh, missed that in the
list. Maybe I missed it. Yep. Shit.
Child's Play, which I briefly considered for mine, The Evil Dead, and The Monster Squad. Great list, Justin.
Is The Monster Squad the one with the kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that show.
Yeah, and they're fighting Dracula and the Frankenstein's monster comes to their side.
Yes, I seem to remember this one. Yeah, that's
good,
not bad.
Good fun show, which was just exactly at our right time. Then from Christian Steele, who is another great friend and regular contributor to the show. Thanks again, Christian. Here we go. I'm not sure if he has these in order because he always sends a picture through, so I'll just read them in the order that they are presented. Army of Darkness, Rope, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. He said that one was for you.
Thank you.
Night of the Creeps. There you go. Bordello of Blood, which I thought was way inferior to Demon Knight, but Demon Knight was ruled out on being 92 minutes. Though that said, you probably would have included it on your list.
Fan, fuckface.
Wishmaster, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Commando, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. Shit.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I would have considered that.
Yeah,
I
don't
realize
that.
False. And Night of the Demons. Thank you, Christian. From Dylan Miles, which is hosts the Welcome to Planet Bob podcast. Good friend, regular contributor to the show. Spinal Tap, Office Space, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil.
Boom.
Stand By Me, Primer, FAQ About Time Travel, Identity, and Best in Show. I ruled out Identity because it was 90 minutes, but otherwise it could well have been on my list.
You know what? Frequently asked questions about time travel. I was massively disappointed with that show.
I think I saw it. I just don't remember. I think you, I blocked it out.
The thing is, the whole show, like the, not whole show, but the first part of the show is like literally Roy from the IT crowd saying, how hard can it be to do a good movie about, you know, and then this one turns out to not be one of those things. And I was like, for fuck's sake. So yeah, it had a couple good bits, but yeah, not for me.
Okay. Well, I wonder then about this nomination for Monday Project KGRG. This was almost too easy. Starscream, clocking in at a brisk 86 minutes. It has to be Transformers the Movie.
Oh, good one.
Your animated film, which I think you went and rewatched and didn't like that
much.
Yeah,
it didn't hold up, but I hold it up. Yeah, it's very nostalgically good.
Then lastly, from superfan, regular contributor, good friend to the show, Jennifer Hicks. Her top 10 films in order of under 90 minutes. Well, she put Identity in. Let her slide because she's such a good fan.
Damn.
Straight. Zombieland, The Lion King, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Beauty and the Beast. So bring in the animation.
Yeah.
Halloween, I think I read that as 90 or even 92, but okay.
It's fine, Jen. Paul's a bitch.
Commando, Ice Age, Liar Liar with Jim Carrey, and The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm not sure if she means the original there or one of the remakes, but thank you, Jen.
I did like Liar Liar.
Ignoring all the animation.
No, the other ones are good too and stuff, but like the
and Zombieland, of course.
Zombieland, we love that.
On my list too.
Nice one.
Thank you, Jen. That's it for this week's listener feedback.
Short and sweet. This has been, we've been recording this at nighttime, which is quite the change for us.
Well, very late at night.
Yeah,
normal.
So
we do go into the evening, but this is
this
later
is like,
than
this
usual.
This is late. So if it got and a little sexy, I'm sorry about that.
It's a little school night, too.
That's right, right.
Oh, yeah.
Living the dream.
Okay, then. So let's wrap up the show as we normally do. First of all, by letting you know how you can get in contact with us and contribute to the show.
Find us on Facebook by searching for The Countdown Movie and TV Reviews right on there, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We are on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. We have an Instagram account, The Countdown Podcast. You can also find us where we host our episodes on Podomatic. And if you are signed in there, you can follow the show and leave likes of individual episodes. But most importantly, we are on iTunes, and that's where we need your ratings and reviews to help climb back up the charts and be where we belong, somewhere around the 140 to 150 mark.
Paul is a numbers man, in case no one's noticed.
It's been an absolute pleasure yet again. But before we go, we should briefly touch on what's going to happen in episodes 97 and 98 as we climb towards the big 100.
Yeah. We, next week for episode 97... are going to do one of our top 10 last 10s.
It has been a while.
It has been a while. We just simply take the last 10 movies we saw and put them in order of shit to good.
That's right. And usually there is a fair bit of shit and a couple of good to end. So it ends up being both a PSA and a recommendation episode, which is good fun for us.
That's right. Clean them all up.
And then the week after that, for episode 98, we are going to be doing the sister episode to today's. We're going to be talking the best long films.
Right.
Which is the best films that clock in over 2 hours.
Yep.
We have defined it as. And we're going to have, hopefully, some very special guests on the show to help us with that.
More on that soon.
More on that next week.
Cool.
And as a final aside today, before we end, wanted to do a little plug for our Word Salad Productions Network, where we are a member with 3 other shows, Quote Unquote Guilty, Cadavercast, and Dealing with Philip Podcast. 3 great shows that cover some very different things. Quote Unquote Guilty does the guilty pleasures side of what they watch, movies and television. Cadavercast is a father and his 5-year-old son now who both watch safe for children horror films and review them together. Extremely cute, a lot of fun. And Dealing with Philip is the host podcaster's battles or dealings with his own mental health issues, which is a little bit more serious, but can be a bit of a fun time as well.
Cool.
We are all together and we have a Patreon at www.patreon.com/wordsalad. you can contribute there, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can get access to exclusive content, including some of our back episodes of our show.
The good ones.
Yeah, I'll be editing the ones that we don't like out.
Okay, good. Well, that's going to do it for us, folks. Thank you very much for joining us. This show has hopefully been a quick, intense shot of jizz on your chest, something pleasant for your morning commute.
Or, you know, just fun.
What did I just say? Until we see you again next week, my name is Wayne.
Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
And we'll see you soon.
Cheers. That's it for this week. No more stuffing around.
Yep.
Let's get straight into the top 10 films running less than... Oh, fuck, that sounds terrible.
That is going to be a cunt of a card to write. Yeah. Until we see you again next week, my name is Wayne.
Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
And we'll see you soon.
Cheers. I didn't do tits that time.
Oh, tits. Wanted to get a jizz joke in there. Maybe it'll play better.